I would now like to call, if he's ready, on Professor Bruno Leone. Thank you.
As you may have noticed in the program, the mention of my name in this session was with the one word, uncertain. In other words, I wasn't certain to be able to prepare a paper. And in fact, I wasn't able to prepare any paper about it. But anyway, I'll try to say a few words about this problem, that is the communism in Italy. I think we should first distinguish very accurately between communist ideology and Communist Party. This is very important because I think that communist ideology did not succeed in Italy at all. And I think it cannot succeed at all. It is too much against the mentality of the Italians, an ideology which prevents people from doing what they like, which tends to abolish altogether private initiative, which stops and destroys the possibility of criticizing, the possibility of discussing, is something very much against the Italian mentality. Freedom of enterprise, free initiative, freedom of discussing or criticizing are very precious things for Italian people. So I don't think that communist ideology could ever succeed in Italy. On the other hand, it is undoubtable that the Communist Party succeeded in Italy. As you probably know, we have now the sad record that the Communist Party in Italy is the most numerous outside of the countries under Russian control. How could it happen? It's really difficult to, well, before trying to analyze the causes, I give you some figures just to give you an idea of the success of this party. In 1948, out of about 26 million electors, 8 million people voted, 100,000 people voted for the Communist Party and the Socialist Party combined together. Probably you know that we have in Italy two socialist parties. One is led by Saragat, and the other one is led by Nenni. The Socialist Party led by Nenni may be defined as a kind of disguised communist party. They are always together in any substantial question. And although some people think in Italy that they could succeed in separating those two parties, I think this is sheer illusion. So when we speak of the Communist Party, we must include the Socialist Party led by Nenni in these figures. And this is the reason why I speak of 8,100,000 people voting communist or socialist, meaning the Socialist Party of Nenni in 1948. That is 31% of the electorate. In 1953, the Socialist Party led by Nenni and the Communist Party combined together got 9,500,000 votes. That is 1,400,000 votes more than in 1948. Of course, the population is increasing too. But the percentage raised to 35.3. In 1953, 58, the third general election, the last we had, the Communist Party combined with the Socialist Party got 10,900,000 votes. That is 1,400,000 votes more than in 1953, and about 2,008,000 votes more than in 1948. And the percentage raised to 36.9. Now let's examine the situation of the other parties. We have in Italy two or three little parties which are called the partitini. You have the Socialist Party led by Saragat, the so-called Republican Party, and then you have the Radical Party, which is a kind of, well, you could imagine it is a kind of radical liberal party, but in some cases it's very pinky, you know. Well, these parties, all combined together, I take the total figures, got 2,500,000 votes in 1948, 1,600,000, I'm sorry, 2,500,000 votes in 1948, 1,600,000 votes in 1953, and 1,700,000 votes in 1958. The percentage was 9.5%, 9.5% in 1948, 6.1% in 1953, and 5.9% in 1958, which means that while the extreme left is rising, the moderate left is decaying. Then we have the Democristian Party, which is the majority party, the government party. Government party got 12,700,000 votes in 1948, 10,900,000 votes in 1953, and 12,500,000 votes in 1958. The percentages were 48.5% in 1948, 40.1% in 1953, and 42.4% in 1958. Then you have the Liberal Party. The Liberal Party is also a partitino. They got 1,000,000 votes in 1948, 800,000 votes in 1953, 1,050,000 votes in 1958. The percentages were 3.8 in 3.0 in 1953, and 3.5 in 1958. We can say that the Liberal Party kept more or less his position in terms of percentages and raised it slightly in terms of votes. Then you have the rightist parties. Well, this definition, rightist, probably doesn't apply completely to some of these parties, like the Movimento Sociale Italiano, which is a kind of attempt to revive the fascist party, and which has a left wing, which I could define a kind of socialist wing. Anyway, they are very strongly, at least nominally, anti-communist. Then you have two monarchical parties. They split. They had one. They had some quarrels. They litigated. Then you had two. Anyway, in 1948, all these three parties combined got 1,200,000 votes. In 1953, they got 3,400,000 votes. And in 1958, they got 2,800,000 votes. In terms of percentage, you have 4.8 for the rightist party in 1948, 12.7 for the rightist party in 1953, and 9.6 in 1958. Which means that the rightist parties are slightly decaying, are decaying. The Democristian Party, as you saw, is decaying too. The moderate leftists are decaying. The only parties who are raising their votes are the Socialist and the Communist Party. Now, what is the reason of it? It's very difficult to analyze the causes of a phenomenon which I think doesn't regard only Italy, but also other countries, the success of the Communist Party. Other countries like France, or as Salvador de Madariaga said before, it could regard Spain, as Malagodi said too, and probably Portugal. What are the causes? It's very difficult to say. I would say the first cause, I would say it very bluntly, is ignorance. The first cause of the success of Communist Party in Italy is ignorance. We have still some millions of people who cannot read, cannot write. Namely, in the South, we haven't them here, but in the South we have. Then I think there is another kind of ignorance, the ignorance of what is really going on in the communist ruled countries. That's the main ignorance. Then you have another cause. I tell it bluntly as well as the first cause. Bad faith combined with ignorance. The peculiar bad faith that can be combined with ignorance on the part of people who think that they can enrich themselves very easily through a communist revolution by pinching, robbing, plundering things of rich people. Then you have another cause. There may be in some regions in Italy, particularly in the area of Bologna, a kind of traditional discontent and unhappiness towards the purported or actual interference of the church, of the Catholic Church, in politics. Until the beginning of the last century, until the end of the 18th century, they had a very bad government of the so-called Cardinali Legati in Bologna and other places. And when Napoleon came, they accepted him as a liberator, really. So they have this inheritance, they have this tradition. They were never happy with the interference of the Pope in their. They belonged to the, you know, they depended on the government of the Pope, and they were not very, very happy with it. So communism is strong, particularly strong in that area, probably because of that historical inheritance. But this is a local cause, probably. Then you have another cause, the shrewdness of the Communist Party to present itself as a kind of labor party. They say, what other so-called socialist party desire or wish we want, and we will have it. For instance, a raise in wages. So they present themselves as a very energetic and very powerful and strong and successful and efficient labor party. And many people accept this situation without accepting communism. They vote for that party because they think that that party will get a better wage for them and so on. Then there is another cause. You could notice, according to the figures I told you, that it would be very difficult, if not impossible, to have an alternative to our present government, unless we fall into the hands of the Communist Party. But this means that we cannot have a democratic alternative. In other words, there is no possible opposition within the constitutional frame of our government. And therefore, we have to keep to this majority government And this implies that all people who are not happy with this government tend to be attracted by the only opposition party, the only opposition they see in this country represented by the communist government. Then you have two minor causes, some minor causes. For instance, those people, those intellectuals, the intelligentsia, including some university professors, but mainly, and not of economics, but of literature, or of arts, or those people, literati, you say, and also painters or sculptors, those painters and sculptors which are producing those strange things that you could see at the exhibition yesterday, were more or less in favor of a kind of new world, which is, to a certain extent, a communist, or which should be a communist world. This is the sinistrismo to which Professor Röpke referred in his speech, his inaugural speech. And the funny thing is that Togliatti, the leader of the Communist Party, called all those people useful idiots. And he said that publicly, you know, openly. He called them useful idiots. And still you have those useful idiots. Now, I finish. I think also the government is responsible for the increase of the Communist Party, because they try to combat communism adopting the same kind of policy to a certain extent. Land reform, socialization of some industries, a general tendency to adopt leftist policies. But if you go this way, you are always surclassed by the Communist Party. You're always overtaken by the Communist Party. They say, listen, they give you 50%, we give you 100%. Then they try to give them 60%, and the communists are still there and say, we give 100%. And this is another cause, I think. But this would involve a very long speech, a very long talk, and I don't want to bother you. Thank you very much.